Hello everyone, my name is Jen Torres and I am a God, and so are you. Like many of you, I was raised to believe that if I just prayed hard enough, God would save me. As it turns out, that was actually true. I saved me. At the age of 15, I became pregnant with a beautiful baby girl who dropped in just in time to save my miserable life. This was my first awakening. This podcast is about all of the words and listening to those words to begin to envision what is possible. Because sometimes, as individuals, we feel we need to know everything, have it all together, and be everything all of the time. But that's why we live in a world filled with other people. Each person holds a piece of the puzzle. It's about being open to new information, new ideas, and new perspectives. We're going to talk about all of the topics surrounding what it takes for you to step into your God-Goddess journey with me as we uncover all things living self-actualized and in your inherent divine God state. This podcast is about doing whatever it takes to develop and nourish the God in you. Oh, hello everyone, and welcome to another brand new episode of the She's a God podcast. My name is Jen Torres. I am the host of this show and a certified human design reader. Welcome to the show. So really quickly, before we jump into this amazing topic today, I want to encourage you, if you have not left a comment or a review on the podcast and you've listened before, please do so. It definitely helps with all of the back things. So do your girl a solid and like definitely leave a review, even if it's just a couple words. It really helps me out. So thank you. Appreciate you. Okay, so let's get on with it. Let's talk about this really fun topic that I think is hilarious and amazing. And I love this type of more edgy type of conversation because I love hearing all of the different perspectives around it. I just find it fascinating, like the different things people think about and also their history and their background and where they come from and why they think the way they do. It's all super fascinating to me. So here's the first thing I want to say. First and foremost, I just want to say that I respect all religions and different belief systems and all of it. I'm very curious about all of the different kinds of things. I find myself reading different religious books, and I took religious theology in college, and just there's all these different, you know, religious systems out there that I'm interested in. And I'm like, okay, interesting. Like, let me learn more about this. Why do they believe the way they, where does it come from? What's the root of why it is that they think the way they think? To me, it's fascinating. So here we go. So right away, I just want to say that this episode is basically a reaction and kind of just talking about and discussing a post that Russell Brand put on his IG. So if you don't know who Russell Brand is, he is a Hollywood celebrity that turned sort of spiritual guy, and he was really came out in like 2020 with a lot of kind of like coming out against everything that was happening in 2020. And I really liked a lot of what he was talking about in 2020. It spoke directly to, I mean, he was really going for it. He was talking about how, you know, people like Bill Gates were like buying up all the farming land, and he was talking about fluoride in the water and how that calcifies the pineal gland, things I knew. But it was really nice to see a celebrity using his platform to talk about things that most people are afraid to talk about because they are afraid of being deplatformed in some way. So first and foremost, respects to Russell Brand because he, you know, went against the grain and went ahead and, you know, was putting himself out there talking about things that a lot of people are afraid to talk about, especially during 2020 and during that whole era where people were very, very, very sensitive to a lot of the information that was circulating. So no problem. I don't have a problem with the guy, but recently he posted something that I was like, this mother effer. Like, I was like, you have got to be joking me right now. I thought it was hilarious. And I was also at the same time kind of trolling him a little, like, you're just like on some shit. So he had a recent post. If you want to go on and check it out on his IG, he's now pinned it to his number one post. So he sees the comments and he sees how people are coming, like how it's stirring so much shit up. I think he sees it as just, I mean, what do they say in Hollywood? That all press is a good press. So I think he kind of probably thinks of it that way. Like, obviously people are talking a lot about it. It's stirring something up. So he like has it pinned as his number one IG post right now, as of today's date. So now that we got that out of the way, you can go check it out. Basically, you'll know which one I'm talking about, because it is a picture of him holding Jesus dead on the cross. Okay, so in this short IG video that he makes holding Jesus dead on the cross, makes several good points within the video. So, but I just want to hone in on his overall message in the video to me personally, because this podcast is all about sharing perspectives and understanding that everybody has different perspectives and we're all seeing things from a different lens. So as we are uncovering and sharing how we see things, we're opening up our consciousness and awareness to see how other people see, and that just further expands the way that we think. So really, I want to just hold space for the fact that many people are Christians and many people have different religious beliefs. And like I mentioned, I don't care about that. Like, I'm totally cool about it. My own parents are deeply religious Christian people. It was actually, I was raised in a very strict Christian household. Okay. So I'm very familiar with the religion. So anyway, back to him holding up this cross, he was talking about Jesus suffering. And his point was to say, and I wrote it down to make sure I didn't screw it up, because he literally said verbatim, using suffering to grow. So he was sort of saying, like, has this been what, like, the answer to it all, and that we need to suffer and we need to sacrifice in order to evolve and embody something greater than ourselves, is what he was saying. And I have such strong beliefs against that, because I was totally raised in that whole vibe that we, you know, it was constantly at the church that I went to preached that we were sinners and we were, you know, terrible. Like, we were constantly preached at, like, threatened with hell and how we were bad and all these things. And we just need to repent to Jesus and ask for his forgiveness. And none of that ever sat right with me. It did not sit right with me. It just never felt right. And so as I began my spiritual journey, and, you know, this is years later, obviously, that was when I was a little girl, and I started my spiritual journey about 5 years ago with a massive Kundalini awakening. And one of the biggest awarenesses that I came into with my awakening was that, you know, first and foremost, that Jesus was a man who, and I studied a lot about this too, who really at that time was really going against a lot of the religious sectors at that time. And he was involved with, his group was called the Essenes. And he was somebody who was preaching against, you know, religion and structures and all of these types of things. And I'm like, interesting. I found that super fascinating, because I was raised with a whole different story on Jesus. So I was like, whoa, like, really? Like, as I'm going through my spiritual journey and I'm learning this other side of the story, I just found that really fascinating. And I also discovered that the Bible was sort of vetted by this group called the Essenes, or by the Council of Nicaea. And this is all stuff you can look up online. But so the Bible was vetted by the Council of Nicaea, meaning they went through it, decided what it was going to be in the Bible, okay, and what we were, the narrative that we would consume from the Bible. So straight away, that told me, like, okay, like, first and foremost, God did not write the Bible. Jesus did not write the Bible. Other people wrote the Bible. So straight away, we're getting their own perspective on what happened. And also, it went through a vetting system through the Council of Nicaea to say what we would see from this Bible. Okay. So I'm like at this, I'm just telling you my journey with Jesus. Okay. Started out super religious, then went into this whole other thing when I became spiritual, learning these other stories about Jesus. And then as I journeyed on my priestess journey, okay, so through the energies of the goddess, I learned by amazing women, high priestesses and women who are scholars in modern day times, such as Marguerite Rigoglioso, who I've had on the show before. These are women who are really uncovering the truth behind the stories of people like Mother Mary, people like Mary Magdalene, where the truth is really, one of the truths out there is that Mother Mary was actually a high priestess, and so was Mary Magdalene. And you can dive deeper into this if you dig into my episodes and find the Marguerite Regal Yoso episode. Maybe I'll try to link that in the show notes for easy access. But it was basically explaining how the word virgin back then, its original etymology was not talking about a woman that has never had sex before. It was actually describing a woman amongst herself, meaning that she did not take a man. She did not take any earthly man. And she was a woman amongst herself. And Joseph was not Jesus's father. He was actually just a Mary's bodyguard type of energy. And he was not Jesus's dad. So all of this to just say that there's a whole other side about Jesus's story that's out there in the spiritual community. And if you dive deep enough, you will learn like the different stories around this. And you will learn how, you know, Mother Mary actually conceived Jesus through something called light conception, which was a high priestess practice that would take place back then. And it was passed on through lineages, and how Mary Magdalene was actually a tantric priestess. And that's why she kind of got that name. That she was just a prostitute, but she was actually a priestess as well. So there's all, I'm just building the story now at this point, just to say that there's all these different narratives about Jesus, right? And Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary. And there's all these different ways, different versions of what's true and what's not true. Also understanding that from what I gathered is that the Council of Nicaea also removed the books of Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary that were designed to go into the Bible and be their truth on what happened. And that information was removed. And only recently were the Mary Magdalene books fully pulled back. The story goes that the original Mary Magdalene, her journals or whatever it is, belief systems and everything, at some like market in like Greece or Egypt or something, and they had to like translate it. It took like 30 years or 40. The story is like, it just took a long time. And it's just been like a whole journey with even being able to get Mary Magdalene's side on what happened there. So I'm trying to set the stage for you now, bringing it back to this Russell Brand post on him kind of just like saying this, right? Like saying this, emphasizing suffering in Christianity, and how, you know, sacrifice and suffering is something that we need to do. And I think the other reason why this kind of hit me on a personal note is because I was raised with so many good Christian that literally would sacrifice their entire life, giving it like helping other people out, and really just like basically living in a very like very low income life. And not to say that that's bad, but they were suffering. Okay, so that's different. They were literally suffering, but they just were taught that the more that they suffer, the more that they sacrifice, and the more that they give, the more that they will get like more in heaven. Like I've actually witnessed people growing up, Christians, say to me that, oh, I'm doing this for this person, but I cannot wait until I go to heaven. I'm going to have diamonds on my mansion, all the stuff. They would literally say this, like they have this idea in their head that the more that they suffer and sacrifice in this lifetime, the more that they will gain in the afterlife. Okay. So it's like fucking insane to me, but it's like also very normal for most people. And also respecting the fact that you might think this, like, I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I'm just saying that I don't believe that. I think it's a program. And so now we're going to talk about my response to Russell Brand. I am what exactly I said to him, because it stirred up so much shit. I had people messaging me day and night, like DMing me pages and paid, mostly men. It's always men in the spiritual community that come after me. And they were like saying, "You, who do you think you are? You're not Jesus," and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, oh my God, like you don't even understand what I'm saying. So I responded, and I will tell you what I responded. And this is just the way that I feel about it when it comes to the suffer story, the sacrifice story of Jesus Christ, and all of the narrative that goes into that within the religious sectors of humanity. Okay. I don't like it. Like, I don't agree with it. So what I wrote was, if I was Christ, I'd be pissed. All of the cool, miraculous things he did in his life, and that's the image we choose to glorify, ? Him hanging dead from a cross. The man walked on water, healed the blind, turned water to wine, And yet the glorification of him hanging from the cross is the primary image we see touted in religious culture. Could that be because the image itself is a programming tool for humanity that we must suffer, surrender, and sacrifice in order to embody or step into something greater than ourselves? Could it be that that image is glorified and popularized to show us Christ in his most defeated hour? Kind of a wink from the religious elite to say, yeah, go ahead and try it. Try to embody your inner divine God state and see what happens. LOL. I ended it with saying Jesus was a badass rebel that was walking around dismantling religious sectors and telling people, as I am, so shall you be, meaning we can all do what he did. He is my brother. He is not my God. And he is a reminder of that state of being. That essence is our birthright. That was my comment to Russell Brand in his video about basically glorifying the suffering and the sacrifice of Jesus hanging on the cross and saying, isn't it here to teach us something? That's the best way to do it or something like that. And like I said, there's many different ways you can think about this, and there's many different ideas behind it that you can say, yeah, of course you have to suffer in order to grow or in order to get better. You have to suffer. You have to sacrifice. I really don't believe that. And actually, when I started adopting a lighter idea behind that to say that, okay, on my spiritual journey, as I'm upgrading and I'm like stepping into new higher versions of myself, I literally tell myself, okay, you do not have to have a come apart every single time you upgrade energetically. You do not have to have a come apart, because I had that embedded in me as well, that whole suffering sacrifice thing. And that suffering sacrifice program that I believe is a program in humanity is really helping the religious elite. And I just asked for you to give me a second to explain myself. And the reason why I say this is because think about the religious elite, okay? Think about all of the religions of the world, especially in the United States of America, and the way that they have people sort of suffering, and the way that even the whole matrix setup in terms of people working and like, you know, having to slave away their entire life to just get a little bit in that whole thing. And think about like the mother wound, you know, and the mother is literally that programming around the mother has to suffer and sacrifice for her children. Okay. And that's what I did most of my motherhood, is I did the same thing. And it wasn't until I became spiritually awakened that I learned to take the time for me to heal. And I knew I couldn't be a better person until I personally took the time to heal. And I could, when my cup is full, I can step in and step up and be with my daughter and help her and whatever, however I can show up for her. But I was working my entire life from a glass empty. Okay. And in that way, I was never present in my motherhood, sadly, for the most part, because I was always thinking about tomorrow, always thinking about the next check that I was going to get. How was I going to pay my bills? I was always concerned about how I was going to do life. And so here's the thing. When you really zoom out and you look at the bigger picture of the, you know, religion, and you look at this suffer story, this sacrifice story, like I mentioned, I truly believe it's literally embedded in every single aspect of our culture, and not just religion, but also the work sectors, motherhood, fatherhood, really every single aspect of how we live life. And so now I want to kind of talk about this, because here's one of the comments I got from a woman, which actually made me sad, like hearing this. So she says that after my comment about we're not here to suffer, okay, like Jesus is my brother. I don't think of him as God. He's like my brother. And I don't think that he ever wanted that. Like personally, I can't speak for him, but like based off of everything that I like have read and understood and studied, it's like he just wanted to ascend and like free people of religious dogma. And all of a sudden, like he turned into a religion. And I almost joke, like he's probably up there like, how did that happen? Like, I'm actually not that. Like, I just want everyone to experience their inner divine God state and their inner divine Christ consciousness so that I can continue to live energetically on this earth, you know, through other people. I said this in a previous episode called Yes, You Are a God, but I just wanted to kind of bring it back on here where I was talking about how 2020 was actually really hard on the Christians because they believed that this big rapture was going to happen and they're going to literally be saved off of the earth, that Christ was going to come down from the clouds and save them all. And it was sad, like watching, you know, I know a lot of Christians because like my parents are Christian and their friends and all that. So it's just, it was interesting to see this because the Bible, I don't think is as like, it's more an analogy kind of like than anything else. Like I believe that Christ coming back is Christ consciousness coming back on the earth, resurrecting through people. So that people begin embodying higher states of consciousness through Christ consciousness. And so that's why you've got healers walking the earth that can heal cancer. That's why you've got people who are doing miraculous things around the world who are fully stepping into this energy. That's why we hear of people dying and ascending into rainbow light body, which apparently Jesus Christ did the same. So all I'm saying is this is the energy that we have access to. And so anyway, back to this comment that this woman wrote, she was talking again about the comment that I put, and she said, that's exactly it. It's about sacrifice and his sacrifice because the highest form of love is giving up the self for somebody else. That to me, I was just like, that is so sad. I couldn't even go there with her. Like I couldn't even like say anything to her because I'm like, wow, like if that's where you are, like I'm just honoring where you're at. You know, like it's not for me to try to like convince you anything differently. If you truly believe the highest form of self-love is giving up the self for somebody else, that's like, wow, like that's sad, you know, and it's because to me, it's not true. And, you know, people don't like to hear this, but I don't believe that Jesus was like, people like to say it was a sacrifice. I believe he was murdered. I know people just don't like to hear that, but I just think he was murdered. And I think that had the religious elite left him the F alone to let him preach his whatever he wanted to preach and let him do what he was here to do, he would have lived to be a very old man. And I don't think that it was in the plan for him to die the way that he did. I think that he could have gone on living for a very long time into a very old age. And I think it's sad that it all happened the way it did. And I love that he still found form. He was still able to, you know, forgive people. He, you know, at the end, there's that famous line of forgive them for they know not what they do. It's so true. Like they didn't realize, like, it's just like, let the man do what he wants to do here. And they were just so intimidated by him that they hung him from a cross and they murdered him. And like I said, I don't think that he needed to sacrifice his self for our sins and the blood of Christ and all this. I think that shit is weird. Like literally when I used to be in church and they used to do that whole thing with the like bread that's like supposed to represent Christ, the meat of Christ or whatever. And then the blood in the cup, like the dark grape juice that's supposed to represent his blood. And we're literally eating and drinking Christ. Like when we would do that in church on like, and I don't mean to offend. Okay. Like if you do this, great. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just giving you my perspective. Like I said, I always found that to be extremely weird. I'm like, why are we doing this? Like isn't it weird? Like in any other situation, this would be super strange. And I think it's some kind of like culty kind of thing that people do that. And they don't even realize it because it's masked in the religious of like, no, it's okay. This is how we honor him. But it's like, actually, is it? I mean, I think he would think that was weird. Like, but me, I'm not him, so I don't know. But like, I just think it's strange. Like, why are we doing stuff with pretending it's blood and like what? And it's just like he didn't need to die, you know? And I just truly don't believe that. Like I believe he was murdered and like, you know, people just couldn't handle what he was saying. And so they took him out. And I think it's bullshit. And I think that if he was, and I also would imagine, you know, that he probably looks at all of this shit like, what the fuck? Like I just like I'm not here to, you know, I wasn't gonna die for your sins. Like everybody is a sinner. Okay. I don't care what you're doing. Like, that's what we're here to do. We are here to sin, because if we're not sinning, we're not figuring this shit out. And life is a classroom. Earth is a classroom. So without actually going out into the world and like doing things, fucking up, making mistakes, we don't learn from them. We don't, if there's no sin, we don't need forgiveness for our sin. We just need to learn from it ourselves and be like, oh, got it. Like, I shouldn't have done that. It wasn't right. You know, it's more like, that wasn't right. That wasn't cool. Like, it's not a right thing for me to do. So, and so next time I'm not going to do it. And I think all this energy around sin and what's holy and all this stuff is so dogmatic, and it's so divisive, and it separates the people, and it makes people think that they have to act and be a certain way in order to go to heaven or go to hell. And it's like, no, like, actually there's many layers in the ethers, and there's star families, and there's other celestial gods, and there's so much energy out into the universe. We couldn't even begin to fathom what is out there. All of that magic that lies within the ethereal realm, Jesus is just part of it. Okay, he was just somebody who, down here, he made major effing waves. And it's really interesting, because Ra Uruhu, who is the founder of human design, he actually said that if Jesus had a personality profile, he would be a 5-1. So if you are familiar with 5-1 in human design, they have a very interesting profile. This is like, the five side is the liberator, the heretic, the universal solution creator. And then the one line is like the investigator, the person that's like studied and gets down to the bottom of things in order to deliver the best possible projection, because the five line has a projection field. So 5-1s are known for being either very, very liked or hated. So it's got this like very strong dynamic where it's like, people are 5-1s. It's like, people will pedestal you. But the second that projection that they're perceiving and putting on you is not met, they will kick your ass down and they will want you dead. 5-1s are actually also called the Christ Antichrist complex, because it's like, they can go either way. It's like, you know, somebody could say something and they'd be like, oh my God, you're amazing, you're wonderful, you know everything, you're great. Or people can like see a different side and they're just like, that's not what I expected of you. And then they're like, you're dead. F you. It's like a really strong twist, where it's not just like a slight like change at hand, like, oh, I kind of don't like that person. It's like, I hate that person, I want you effing dead. Like that kind of vibe. So it's like, it's interesting that Ra Uruhu of human design said that, because I was like, isn't that interesting? If he was if Jesus was a personality profile, he'd be the 5-1. Super interesting. So there's so much here. I mean, I got so much backlash. One guy was just like, I'd be pissed, because that's what I said, I'd be pissed. And he was like, that's why you're not a Jesus. I'm like, you still don't get it. Like, you still don't understand like the point of what I'm saying here. It's not about being a Jesus or wanting to be a Jesus. We're all a Jesus. And I think that's what Jesus Christ was trying to preach. Like, listen, like, embody these higher vibrations. Like, anybody can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. Like, we are brothers and sisters, and we walk this path together. And to me, that's the more beautiful essence of being in this energy, of really understanding who Jesus was and honoring who he is. And so I just want to leave it at this, which is really just, I invite people to investigate a little bit more about this if you feel called. If you're somebody who's only ever known Jesus is part of like the Bible, and you don't really know any other version, I just invite you to start opening yourself up to learn different aspects of who Jesus is, in order to kind of maybe open yourself up to what maybe his energy actually is, instead of what we were told it is and what we were taught it is. And so I just found this post fascinating. I thought it was great. Unfortunately, he did not respond to me. I was hoping he would, because I was like, oh, I go all day on this one, you know, because I have like so much knowledge, like on both sides of the spectrum with, like, I had, when I was a kid, we just studied the Bible all. I even went to the school. So we're always studying the Bible. And then now from the spiritual side, I've been studying that for so long. So it's just, it's fascinating. It's interesting. I believe that I find it even funny that like Russell Brand is leading into being Christian now. I thought it was so funny because he had all of this, I don't know if you remember, but he had all of this stuff come out about him having had some sort of like sexual harassment charges from women. And I'm not saying that any of that is true at all. It could have totally been a setup because he's been for so long really kind of spitting truth on everything that's been going on. So that could have been a total setup, but it's like all of a sudden he's Christian. And like, what a shift like that will put on somebody like to just go from just being like super like spiritual and putting all kinds of truth out there about the elite and like all of that kind of stuff and the weaponized food system and all of these things. And then you get these charges or these potential charges, and then all of a sudden you're a Christian. So it felt like such a celebrity move. Like, I don't know how you all felt about it, but it felt like such a celebrity move to me that he all of a sudden was like coming out with like all this religious stuff. It's like, felt like one of those moves where it was like, look over here now, because I'd rather just deal with this than not have to explain that or something. So either way, found the entire thing fascinating. I hope you all did too. And again, I just invite people to open their minds to new ideas, new perspectives, new ways of being within this beautiful, exceptional, fun, cool time we are living in. It is not the time to get super serious about things. It's a time to really open our mind to other people's ideas, other people's perspectives, and really try to gather more information about what these people could have really been like in real life. And they were human beings, so they were definitely flawed in many ways. So it's just interesting to kind of open up your mind to some of these deeper knowings and these deeper energies that are present and available for us to consume. So I hope you all are having a blessed week, and I will catch you on the very next episode of the She's a God podcast. Much love.
Thank you for listening to the She's a God podcast. Tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I would love to hear from you. Follow me on social media at This Is Jen Torres for all of the latest. And remember, she is a God, and so are you.